Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe or hit the bell icon. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with my good friend, Robin Raskin. Hey, Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for those who haven't heard of Robin before, she's an American writer, author, publisher, TV personality, and conference and events creator, and is best known for her ability to simplify technology for non-technologists. Now, we'll talk about her role and experience as an entrepreneur and founder of a number of organizations, including her latest, the Virtual Events Group, which looks at hybrid events, but also Living in Digital Times, which is partnering with the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, The Last Gadget Standing. Now, she was also a columnist for Yahoo Tech, editor of PC Magazine and Family PC, which at its height had about 700,000 readers. And as a writer, she published various books and magazines and calls herself the Digital Mom. And she lives in New York. Hey, Robin, again, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to have you on the show right now.
And yes, but you can tell I'm not in New York right now. I'm in upstate New York.
Oh, hey, that's taking still New York.
Taking it a little easier. Yes.
Okay, great. Hey, you, I'd like to explore your life, your experience working in the digital technology space for so many plus years. I won't actually ask how many years, but how did it all start? And what attracted you to that digital world?
You know, like most people who entered at my time, it was serendipity. Didn't know. You went to college, you graduated college. I got married. I had a husband who was a very early computer graphics engineer. And I was fascinated with what I saw him doing, even though it took hours to make two pixels come together, rendered on machine. So he brought home a terminal for me, connected to his DEC, PDP-11 at his university, and he taught me Unix. And it was really hard. And whenever I'm in trouble, I write. So I wrote a story called How I Learned About Computers to Save Our Marriage.
Yeah, you actually might want to explain to the audience what Unix is, for maybe there are a lot of people out there who do not know what Unix is anymore.
So Unix still is an operating system, and an operating system like iOS or Android or DOS, but it's what the early machines ran. And so you had to learn very specific languages. Like I can still remember .sp, .t, you know, to make different things happen, just to be a typewriter. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is crazy, this computer's crazy, but there's something big going on here. And I had a baby at the time and others on the way. And I said, I think this is going to change women's lives, this ability to work. He would bring me home a printout at night. There were no printers in your house. So he'd bring me home a printout. I would edit it again in the morning. And I wanted to be a journalist, but children made me have to stay home. So I was limited. So now I see computers, I'm going, oh, wow. So I write this thing, I learned about computers to save our marriage, and I get some calls from pretty interesting people, like a young man named Bill Gates, you know, who said, you think there's really going to be a computer on every desktop and women are going to stay home and work? I said, I do. And then a gentleman who became my boss named Bill Ziff, who was starting a magazine in New York called PC Magazine, and he said, can you come work for us? And I said, I don't really know anything. He said, nobody knows anything. Just come dive in. We'll all learn together. And we did.
Yeah, because you learned something, but what made me curious, you said you saw digital technology. And rather than saying it's going to change the life of people, you said it's going to change the life of women.
Yeah, I did. I did, but that was my frame of reference at the time. Now, years later, I see it changed the life of everybody, street kids who had no opportunity, people in other countries who needed to step up out of various caste systems. Technology has been a it's, yes, it can be a great divisiveness, but it is a great equalizer in so many ways, because we all have access to the knowledge of the world, and we can stay in place to hear from the greatest lecturers and the greatest professors all over the world. It's kind of amazing when it's used well.
Yeah, but that's what we can do today with our current technology. But at the time you started at PC Magazine, what did you write about at that time?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so we came up with a thing, and I take note, there were some very smart people to rank products. So just like today you have 500,000 apps, there were 500 PCs, and people wanted to know the difference between PCs and what to buy. So we made an editor's choice. We learned how to test things so that you would buy a printer that wouldn't fail. We were there for the first digital cameras. So we made up tests to how do you test the image quality, and the image quality was really bad in early digital cameras. How do you test audio quality? How do you test databases that they're secure? So we kind of made up this rubric to figure these things out, and then started to write about some of the issues that were coming. But if you remember, there was no internet. So we had something called CompuServe.
Yeah.
And we had a modem. A modem, you put your phone, your wired phone, the headset, you put it in. And that was our bulletin board for the magazine. That's how people could talk to us, through CompuServe and this telephone in a cradle. And if I was on the road writing a story, which I like to do, I remember being with my family, backpacking out with my, it was so heavy. It was like 14 pounds and the modem, quarters to put in the payphone machine, hook up my phone jack into the phone machine, and get my story back to my editors. So it was really, we thought everything was get so much easier that we could at least do this. But now it's so easy, people forget how hard it was until the internet really came along and changed everything, because it was a common language instead of CompuServe, AOL, Prodigy, all these different towers.
And because you just mentioned briefly, matter of factly, that you were on the phone with Bill Gates. Now, how small was that world at the time? Did everybody know each other more or less?
They did, and they were, and there was a real sense of building something together. I think some people had more of a sense. I mean, I think Bill was a Monopoly player. He played to win. I think, I won't even say what I think about Steve Jobs, but there were so many early pioneers, so like Reed Hastings, people who had a vision of just how big this thing was. And how responsible you had to be involved. And it was really a moment in history. And I always say, it's like when they moved from rock stars to compute to geeks, you know, all of a sudden the geeks. And really all I ever saw myself as was a translator. I took what they had to say and made it so that other people could understand.
Now, being a translator to translate geeky technology to something the consumer understands, is that also what drove you to set up Living in Digital Times and working with the Consumer Electronics Show?
It was again an amazing experience. You know, magazines, I love printed magazines. PC Magazine was this big, and then it really, now it's just small online. I worked at Yahoo, I worked for Disney, but I was invited through the Consumer Electronics Show to come to Dubai and do the Last Gadget Standing, which is an event that I did, which is sort of like the high school play of products. You show your product, the audience votes by applause. It's kind of like Survivor meets the high school play. So here I am in Dubai, and the wonderful head of the Computer Electronics Show, Gary Shapiro, said, "What do you really want to do?" And I said, "Well, I think I want to, I did print, I did radio, I wrote books, I did a lot of television in New York." I said, "I think it's all the same thing. I want to build communities around different areas, and I can help you grow CES if we add some new organization so we started the digital health, digital health summit, the digital money summit, the high tech retailing summit. So basically, instead of just saying this is about technology, we said this is about life, and here are the people that should be there. And I remember he said to me, do you think a doctor's ever going to come to Las Vegas to look at a piece of technology? I said, I really do. I really believe that everybody is going to look for the right technology, the fashion people, the, you know, and they will come to CES to do it. And that's
predicted that, and I think you're proven right. They did come.
It did come. But you know, what comes can go too. So you always have to think to the next step, you know. I think I once told you the story of Wikipedia. This guy, Jimmy Wales, comes into my office at PC Magazine and goes, I have an idea. We're all going to write the encyclopedia together as a group. And I just said, just stay in your chair, buddy. I'm going to go get my bosses. I'm going to bring them in here because you're crazy. But I did always say at PC Magazine, never just because they're Microsoft, because they're Facebook, because they're Amazon, don't let them be the only players in the room, because the next idea can come from a crazy person who calls you from downstairs saying, would you please look at this? You need to show them the same respect. And that's where I think good ideas happen and keep happening. And
okay. Well, in hindsight, we all know where Wikipedia ended up with, but can you honestly think back what you really thought of what he was saying? I mean, how can you evaluate all these ideas which probably are going to be offered? Okay, hey, what's going to stick and what's crazy?
So I think you evaluate not just the ideas, but the people they come from, the passion, the logic, the ability for them to execute. So we saw so many things, literally, where I would say to somebody, look, you don't even have a mailbox big enough for what's going to happen if I write about you, because that's how big, you know, the magazine was. I said, you have to be prepared. You need customer support. You need a system. And so we would tell people, come back when you grow up, you know, think this over again. Yeah. So I think there's so many things besides just the idea that go into a successful product. Ideas, everybody has them, but sticking with them is really hard.
And he took your advice to heart?
He had a pretty good idea. He knew how he would do this. I think right now, personally, I think Wikipedia has diminished a little bit in its importance. I think they don't have a funding, being a foundation is very hard. And yet they have this invaluable service. So they have to grow to the next thing also.
Just being able to live in a time where all these pioneers come to you, call you for attention. I mean, in hindsight, that must be quite exciting that you realize in hindsight, hey, I was there at the beginning when this whole global digital revolution started.
Yeah, no, I made some mistakes too. I mean, there were things I never thought, you know, would work, and they did work. I mean, if you would take TikTok, I couldn't have predicted that one, you know. I mean, sometimes it's just the right moment at the right time. Timing plays such a big part in it. You know, when you've got Facebook already out there and Instagram already out there, and this TikTok comes up with short little videos, and you know, you could do it on a million other ways, but there was a message that they had about authenticity, about originality, about playfulness that really resonated with people. So it's so much a matter of timing. I mean, today Wikipedia is okay, but if I need information that's more current and immediate, I go to Reddit, you know. Alexis, who developed Reddit, you know, Wikipedia was there, but he said, well, I can do something more immediate and community driven. So I think there's always going to be somebody who has the next best idea. And, you know, I hope the new ones are, I think they are, sustainable in the sustainable areas, in the inclusivity and diversity areas, that in the financial areas where people, a lot of people have a good idea and just try and get rich quick. I think these kids who are coming out of schools today really have a social responsibility sense.
Yeah.
More.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually a nice segue to my next topic I'd like to discuss with you. So you grew up in the digital world. You saw it grow, helping to grow the Consumer Electronics Show. I mean, that's the biggest show in the world out of Las Vegas. But what do you? How do you see the digital technology developing at the moment? And okay, let me allude to where I want to go to, the fact that you set up the virtual events group.
Yeah, so I think, you know, even before the pandemic, everything was going digital. You could see it. In medicine, you weren't going to go to drive to your doctor and park in the parking lot and wait an hour in the waiting room anymore, you know, and you weren't going to, and now you can do it on the phone this year or on Zoom, but next year you will have thermometers and stethoscopes and ear tools. You'll have tools that you can plug in and use with your computer and really do a home examination. They'll be able to look at your blood vessels and detect your blood flow, your oxygenation. Are you precancerous? And, you know, so you can see medicine was accelerated by the pandemic. Everything happened faster, but it was going to happen anyhow. Finances, my mother is 90 and she now uses Venmo. I mean, people had to figure out how they were going to pay their bills. They weren't going to walk to the post office. So all of a sudden, everybody in the world now is starting to understand electronic payments, electronic money. And then there were meetings. I came out of meetings and I said, oh, everybody started to call me. And because I had sold my company to CES and they're going, well, what do we do? What do we do? How do we meet? How do we do business? I said, well, we're going to have to learn this virtual thing and we're going to have to do business online and we're going to have to learn to communicate. And so I started the virtual events group really as a place where we could share knowledge and all learn together. We started, you're not going to believe this, but there's something like, I don't know, 250 just platforms to host a virtual event. We have 600 products reviewed on that site. There's a lot of discussion now as you move from virtual and you can start together again. Are you going to be hybrid? Does hybrid mean you have to be in two places at once? Because that's very expensive. Yeah. Or does it mean maybe you spread things out over a year? Some are hybrid, some are virtual, some are in person. So just like medicine, just like money, events are being disrupted. So I decided that might be a nice, I call it my third act. My first act was publishing. Second act was events, and my third act, and I'm really excited about the metaverse, this idea of meeting with any platform, any device, anywhere, ad hoc, and building communities, and it's not there yet, so don't go buying yourself a metaverse, but it's getting there, so I'm spending a lot of time.
Just by the way, for the audience, can you explain a little bit what a metaverse is?
Yeah, so there's, you ask 10 people, there's 10 definitions, but basically it's another world. Yeah. It's an artificial digital world that could be a twin of a real world or could be a world you just make up. And you go there usually as an avatar, as a person that you create a representation of yourself that's digital, it could look like you want, and you walk around and do business, go to concerts, watch sports, you buy land, you trade art. And if you look at kids, if you remember when my kids were little, they would buy, I had to have this digital sword to play this game. I said, why? And then they would say, because it's really valuable. And now it turns out they're grown up and yes, it's really valuable. They're all trading swords and costumes and artwork and Michael Jordan photos, Top Shot. They're all trading non-fungible tokens because they grew up understanding that it was going to be a digital world, and they're as comfortable and as fluid in it as we are in the real world.
So us digital immigrants, we just have to get used to that. That's going to be the new world, and probably not only of events, but a large part of our daily life is going to be in that meta world. Is that your prediction?
Yeah, I mean, I think so we talked about virtual, some of this is in virtual reality, but let's take augmented reality. Niantic right now is making an augmented map of the entire world and everybody is contributing. Yeah. So now imagine I'm out on my hike. I like the outdoors, or I'm out on my boat ride. I put on my augmented glasses and now I know I have a context. What is this river called? What is that landmark? What is that building? So I'm fluidly mixing the real world I'm in and the world of more information when I want to. So it's, I think, a great privilege. And you know what they say, with great privilege comes great responsibility, to mix those worlds and use them wisely. And not, you know, the studies, you create endorphins when you sit in front of your screen. Screen addiction is really real. What makes me laugh is there are now apps that let you get over screen addiction, which is kind of funny. You use technology to treat your mental issues, but.
Okay, this sounds a little bit like what I said in the introduction, like the digital mom is coming back into play, that you not only want to translate technology to non-technical consumers, but also give people advice, warn them to make certain that it's going to be used in good practice.
Used in good practice and also shortcuts to success. So I think I made every mistake in the book. I'm older now. I can look back and say, hey, you know, don't do this right now. You know, this is how you methodically build your brand. And that's what we're doing. And that's what you're talking about, which I love. And how you can stop yourself from making costly, hurtful mistakes and still have a balanced life, because after you've done it a couple of times, it makes sense.
Yeah. So today, what still inspires you?
So I think in over a 40-year career of being involved with tech, not a day goes by where I don't see something miraculous happen in the tech world, whether it's a paraplegic who can move with an exoskeleton now, whether it's a virus, you know, a vaccine that's created. I think whether you get to shop without waiting on a long line because you can swipe your phone or go through, you know, the store is following you around. The big debates come up with what's privacy, what's not, you know, there are big issues. There are technology can solve so many of the world's problems.
Yeah. There are big issues, but are you optimistic about the future of digital technology and the world around it?
Well, medium to rare. I mean, there's some things, okay, Elon and all his friends are going to space right now to colonize it for when we mess up this planet. I would rather take some of that money and work on this planet right now. We know how to fix a lot of agricultural problems. We know how to fix desalinization of water. We know how to fix arid, you know, desert communities. Like, I get it, everybody wants to get rich quickly, but let's try and make a good product out of this that can really help.
Yeah. So what is your advice to the young managers who want to start out in this world?
So I have two of that. My biggest mistake when I was younger was I was very timid. I was actually scared to ask for what I wanted and scared to talk about money, never talked about money. I almost see a little the opposite now, that a lot of kids are, I'm going to say they border on a little bit of, you know, a little bit of arrogance about their ideas, what they know, how quickly they can get there. This is going to be the thing to make, you know, money. And I think they have to step out of their bubble a little bit and look at the larger context, but not be afraid to step out in that room of adults running a company and say, hey, I have an idea. And I think as adults, we have a responsibility to not just listen to, but take advice from kids starting out. It's a first time in the history of the world that there are as many people as old as I am that are still in the workplace working kids much younger than my own children. And I am delighted by it. I think it's so wonderful to have this information exchange, but it can be painful too. They're quick and they're impulsive. They don't understand the implications of their actions. We talked about this sometimes. Do they know when their privacy, they sign up for a sweepstake or a contest, or they go into Fortnite. They don't know what they are buying into. And as my son says to me, Mom, get over the privacy thing. It's over. But at some point, you do want some privacy.
Sounds you still want to be that digital mom, I guess.
I think it's just in my lifeblood.
Okay. Hey, Robin, we've been trying to cram 40 years of great experience into this small conversation with you. So much experience, so much wisdom you've been able to share with us. So I really enjoy talking to you. And I'm looking forward to see what the future is going to bring us and see if your prediction on immersive technology, how's that going to play out. So looking forward to catch up in the future.
Okay, we're going to put on our glasses and jump in together next time, okay?
Will do.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.